the BBC has been criticised for its coverage of Wednesday's terror attack in London. Last night, it was confirmed that a fifth person has now died and more than 40 people have been injured. The columnist Simon Jenkins, appearing on Newsnight last night, said, excuse me, the BBC has made a choice. They opted with the terrorist. Let's have a listen.
The BBC today has made a choice, and they've opted, if I may say so, with the terrorist.
But there is a choice. We can't ignore it.
No one's suggesting you ignore it. And that's what people always say when someone like me protests about how much publicity you give these incidents. You have a choice of prominence. And the prominence given to them now, I think, is aiding and abetting terrorism. I really feel that. You should choose to treat it as a crime. Under the IRA terrorists, even under the PLO ones, we treated them as crimes. In this case, probably some crazy guy, for all I know, who's gone mad, he's done something really stupid, and he's dead. It's a crime. All over London, people are doing crazy things with knives and cars, and people are dying. This happens to have taken place at Parliament, which is indeed serious, and people have died. I'm not underplaying that at all.
No, none of us are.
It should be publicised. It's quite different from ascribing it with this tremendous clutter of politics and Islam and religion. It's quite wrong, and it is a new phenomenon, not on the part of the terrorists. Terrorism is just a method of getting publicity. We're the people who give them publicity, and we're giving it to them.
Well, do you think the BBC's coverage has gone too far, or should the news report as much information as is available? The commentators, Bishop Stephen Lowe and Charlie Wolfe, with us this morning. Stephen, morning to you.
Morning.
Morning. Morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Bishop, what do you think?
I think Simon has a point. I think the coverage this time has been perhaps way over the top, simply because so many BBC correspondents were locked in the Palace of Westminster for one reason or another. And there were cameras immediately available from one Millbank, the studios from Millbank, the studios opposite the Houses of Parliament. So they were able to put their cameras on it right from the beginning. And it was an easy coverage for the BBC. And I think Simon has a point, though, that by heightening up the notion that of terrorism, there is a temptation for others to see, we are angry with the state, we'll have a go at this, this has received massive publicity all over the world, wall-to-wall television all the time, BBC shutting down their main...
Well, it's called reporting the news, Stephen, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's called reporting the news.
Of course, and I don't think Simon Jenkins was saying we shouldn't be reporting the news, but there is a way of doing that, Stephen, which actually doesn't play into the hands of those who want to imitate this particular horrible behaviour.
And how did the BBC play into the hands?
Well, if you actually do something which produces, as I say, wall-to-wall coverage over hours and hours and hours and days and days and days, you go into it so forensically, and it produces as a result extraordinary statements like Farage's, that this is a failure of multiculturalism, where the guy actually was born and bred in this country and is as British as anybody.
But that's not the BBC's responsibility, what someone else is saying, is it? And if you had at the time of that terrorist attack, Stephen, if you had switched channels to the American networks, they too were running live coverage.
Of course.
So are you seriously suggesting that
it's gone on for days and days and days?
But there was an attack at the heart of the United Kingdom's democracy.
Yes, and of course that the point that Simon Jenkins was making, which I think has validity, is that actually if you continue to play this up big time and not treat it in the way in which we dealt with many of the IRA bombings and the PLO exercises as crimes, and actually, in a way, glamorise terrorism, because I think our phrase, that's to some extent what's gone on. Look at what's happening.
You cannot seriously. Well, you can do what you like, but you're going to be challenged by me. If you're suggesting that the BBC has glamorised terrorism, seriously.
Well, it's actually fed the notion. Well, I think this was Jenkins's point, fed the notion that if you actually do do anything as terrible as this, you are going to get massive worldwide publicity on a level that nothing else would actually achieve.
Why are you picking out the BBC? What about Sky's coverage? Hold on a second. Why are you picking out the BBC?
Rather than in a different sort of way.
But Bishop, what about Sky's coverage and CNN's coverage and Fox News' coverage and ITV's coverage?
Particularly going for the BBC, Jenkins did. I'm not. I think there is an issue. I mean, I opened my newspaper again today and read the same stuff that I've been reading yesterday. And I thought, yeah, I got Thursday's edition of my paper this morning because this is the same stuff as I was reading yesterday. Little, you know, new information, really. And did I really want any more information? The horror of what happened in London has happened. We've gone through a national sense of mourning and pain and horror about it, but the continued forensic examination plays into the hands of those who want to undertake this sort of activity because they will think, ah, this is what we can do. We can drive trucks into people, and that will actually create massive publicity for our cause.
Charlie?
I have to disagree. I mean, granted, it's going to cause publicity for their cause, but it is news, and people want news, and news is a commodity, if you will. So if your audience is grasping for product A, you don't try and give them product B. Just to give you an example, and this also shows the difference between the BBC and Sky, I remember about 3, 4, or 5 years ago, I was doing a paper review on Sky, and there was an event of a possible terrorist incident on an airplane. And they flashed up. Someone had sent in a photo, someone on the plane. They didn't know what it was. They stayed with that photo. And this is the ability of these guys have to talk for about 3 hours over nothing but a photo, saying, we have nothing but a photo. We have an incident on a plane. We don't know much more. Stay with us. And the theory between the two stations is the BBC would rather wait until they know exactly what's going on. Sky, on the other hand, their theory is we're going to stay with this photo until we know one way or the other, because if it does turn out on the 1% chance it's news, we're the very first ones to have it. But people also do want to stay with it. It's almost a form of security. I sat in the chair when 9/11 happened. I sat there glued to my seat for 9 hours watching the TV, because in a sense it was a form of giving me a chance to process what was going on. So I don't see anything wrong with that. Where it gets a bit kind of freaky is when you have things like here on Twitter today, Philip Schofield walks across Westminster Bridge in tribute and defiance. Defiance to who? To what? The bridge? You know, and he's got he's getting slaughtered here, by the way, in about 104 replies that I'm seeing.
He's getting way OTT on some of this stuff now, and it's going on for too long. And I think that is a problem, and maybe we need to recognise that horrible though this event was, and it should have been covered, and it was well covered, more than well covered, because I say by ill fortune there were many BBC correspondents right in the middle of it all, and there were television cameras already stuck covering the Houses of Parliament. But now, 2 or 3 days on, the coverage is still absolutely extraordinary. The Today programme from, this morning on Radio 4 was just full of it all again, going over the same ground, asking the same questions, some extraordinary questions as well, and also getting into the blame game. Who can we blame for this happening?
Where I agree with you to an extent is when you have, programs like yours, Stephen, with all due respect, and it's needed to have the phone lines open, don't get me wrong, where people can, again, process the information, but sometimes you get these conversations by armchair quarterbacks, have no knowledge of foreign affairs, whatever, and they're postulating one way or the other, and it's our foreign affairs. It's, my favorite is someone here, religion is responsible for, all the deaths and troubles in the world, where I think, we know that's not true, Bishop. It has its problems, but you can't say that. But I'll tell you, if you really want an example of what Simon Jenkins is speaking about, and I haven't seen it recently, but where it really comes down to what he was talking about is when you have people like Greenpeace and Fathers for Justice and these other groups that will create a stunt, be it climb the wall of the Houses of Parliament, and then film it because the BBC can't get cameras there, and then supplied the film to the BBC, Sky, ITV.
Yeah, but we're going off on a tangent here. The question is, for those people...
That's an example of what they're talking about.
Yeah, but for those people who are saying that the BBC should somehow cover these major events less... Joe in South Belfast, what do you think, Joe? Morning to you.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for letting me on. Well, I have to totally agree with the gentleman that was saying that it's just saturation. It's just that they're just going over and over and over it. It's as if they want to revel in the situation. You know, I don't know. I just don't understand it at all. I understand what happened and it was awful, and the people dying and it was disgraceful. But when something like this happens, they just seem to go over it and repeat it and repeat it. You could come in 10 minutes later from the house, go back in, and it's as if you're being told the exact same thing over again, and they're just regurgitating it. Do you know what I mean? I don't see the wall-to-wall coverage of millions of people starving to death in Yemen. You know,
can I answer that? The reason is news is local. People want to know what's happening in their neighborhood, people they relate to. For instance, I'm just looking at KSL Radio and Television in Salt Lake City, which I know having lived there. What's their top story? Of course, the American who got killed in the event because he was from Utah, from Bountiful. So, you know, it that makes it local to them. And yes, it, as crude as it is, if it bleeds, it leads. That is just the truism of the business.
On, as your caller was, the caller is saying, this has gone on such with a saturation level, which I think I've ever experienced before since 9/11, or possibly 7/7.
Stephen, can I just make a really crucial point in this as well?
And you really do feel that they're going round, as he said, the same material time and time again, and desperate for new
Stephen,
questions
can I just make
to ask.
One very quick comment.
Some of them are unanswerable.
Go on, Joe.
What I want to just say is, and this crops up every single time when something happens. MI5, CIA, FBI, MI6, all knew of these people that were involved and were keeping tabs on them and knew of them and this and that and the other, but yet the people still carried it out. It was the same in Belgium, it was the same in Nice, it was the same, you name it. Straight after it, they come out with, oh, we knew of this person, and we knew this, that, and the other. We were keeping tabs on them up to a point, and then we just thought that it wasn't relevant anymore, and then they carry something out. Now, to me, that seems very suspicious to me, or I don't know, and maybe I'm just being the cynic in me, that maybe sometimes people want things to happen.
What do you mean?
I can't accept that, really.
I don't know what you mean.
Well,
people want things to happen. Are you serious?
Well, have you never heard the expression "false flag"? Are you trying to honestly tell me? I'm not saying this time in London, but I'm saying you honestly tell me that false flags have not occurred.
Come on, Joe. Let's remember that people lost their lives, for goodness sake. Let's remember that people in London lost their lives. And have a wee bit of respect for the dignity of those who have lost their lives.
And indeed, at the start of the
and indeed for those who lost their lives trying to save others.
Did I say anything different to that,
Bishop?
Well, I find the notion that in some ways the false flag notion applies to this particular event quite.
I didn't say it applied to this event.
Okay.
Well, you did use it in the context of this event.
Okay, Harry in East Belfast.
Style of event. I'm saying that style of event.
Okay, Harry in East Belfast. Morning, Harry.
Morning, Stephen. Your show on Wednesday night, when the incident happened in Westminster, you never mentioned it once. You were more interested in Martin McGuinness's show.
So what's your point, Harry?
That's what I want to say. You're talking about the BBC this morning.
Yes.
You were on the TV on the night that happened and you didn't mention it once.
Well, remember that when BBC Northern Ireland does any range of programmes, or indeed the BBC anywhere, but let's talk about BBC Northern Ireland.
Right, okay.
You know, we have a range of programming, all right?
Right.
And what is taken into consideration is not a programme in its isolated form. So what actually happened, Harry, to let you in on the thinking of Wednesday night, is that we knew that at 10 o'clock, all right, just before my programme,
right,
that there would be extensive coverage of the terrorist incident in London. In fact, the news was extended at 10 o'clock. The national news was extended to provide full coverage of that. So we took the view, the licence fee payer is being, you know, served well by that extended coverage. Then there was Newsline, and then we were picking up on a more local story.
I know. I understand that, Stephen. But I thought your show, as you say yourself, the biggest show in the country, would at least have said and recognised that there was people injured and people dead. You never mentioned it once. Put me off it. I watch your programme all the time, Stephen, and you're fairly decent about things. I give you that. But on that particular one, I wanted you to say something, at least mention it. You didn't.
Well, look, I think I need to take that on the chin and think about that, Harry.
Fair enough.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.